ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada. Canto 7, Chapter 12, The Perfect Society, Four Spiritual Classes. Text number 11. Etat sarvam grihastasya. Etat sarvam grihastasya. Samamna tangyaterapi. Samamna tangyaterapi. Guru vrittir vikalpena. Guru vrittir vikalpena. Grihastasyartugaminaha. Grihastasyartugaminaha. Translation. All the rules and regulations apply equally to the householder and the sannyasi, the member of the renounced order of life. The grihastha, however, is given permission by the spiritual master to indulge in sex during the period favorable for procreation. Srila Prabhupada has written a rather extensive purport, so see if you can practice active listening, which is an art. It's not easy to hear everything, because usually we're hearing our minds. You know, the mind is always at the movies. It's the mind is thinking of something I lost or something I want. Shochati, kangshati. So to be fully present with Krishna takes practice. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is sometimes misunderstood that a grihastha, a householder, is permitted to indulge in sex at any time. This is a wrong conception of grihastha life. In spiritual life, whether one is a grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, or brahmachari, everyone is under the control of the spiritual master. For brahmacharis and sannyasis, there are strong restrictions on sexual indulgence. Similarly, there are strong restrictions for grihastas. Grihastas should indulge in sex life only in accordance with the order of the guru. Therefore, it is mentioned here that one must follow the orders of the spiritual master. Guru vrittir vikalpena. When the spiritual master orders, the grihastha may accept sex life. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7:11. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi. Indulgence in sex life without disobedience to the religious rules and regulations constitutes a religious principle. The grihastha is allowed to indulge in sex life during the period favorable for procreation and in accordance with the spiritual master's order. If the spiritual master's orders allow a grihastha to engage in sex life at a particular time, then the grihastha may do so. Otherwise, if the spiritual master orders against it, the grihastha should abstain. The grihastha must obtain permission from the spiritual master to observe the ritualistic ceremony of Garbhadhan Sangskar. Then he may approach his wife to beget children, otherwise not. A brahmana generally remains a brahmachari throughout his entire life, but although some brahmanas become grihasthas and indulge in sex life, they do so under the complete control of the spiritual master. The kshatriya is allowed to marry more than one wife, but this also must be in accordance with the instructions of the spiritual master. It is not that because one is a grihastha, he may marry as many times as he likes and indulge in sex life as he likes. This is not spiritual life. In spiritual life, one must conduct one's whole life under the guidance of the guru. Only one who executes his spiritual life under the direction of the spiritual master can achieve the mercy of Krishna. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasada. If one desires to advance in spiritual life, but he acts whimsically, not following the orders of the spiritual master, he has no shelter. Yasya prasadan nagati kutopi. Without the spiritual master's order, even the grihastha should not indulge in sex life. First of all, I'm very grateful to be here, as I'm sure all of you are, in this palace you call Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. I've heard about it for years. Now I finally get to be here. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. So, Narada Muni is speaking to Yudhisthira Maharaj. It's called The Perfect Society for Spiritual Classes. Srila Prabhupada, if you noticed in the purport, he just kept circling around and then zeroing in on the same point, the same thing. Human life is meant for spiritual life, not for sense gratification. Whatever order you're in, it's about getting a higher taste. It's not about sensual indulgence like that. So, Prabhupada says, grihastha. What's the opposite of grihastha in Sanskrit? Grihamedi. So, I once had the privilege of seeing Srila Prabhupada install some deities in a place in America called Dallas, Texas. Big D, they call it Big D. So Krishna appeared very appropriately in a very big, brawny form. Big deity. His name is Kalachanji. The blackish moon-like lord of Vrindavan. So, many things happened when Srila Prabhupada installed this deity, because somehow, when Srila Prabhupada walked among us, time was compressed. And it felt like you went through a whole lifetime in one day during the Hare Krishna explosion. So when Prabhupada came to Dallas in September 1972, he came to install the deities of Radha Kalachanji, and also to bless the budding, at that time, Gurukula. It was the only Gurukula in America. So when he came to the airport, we ushered him into the VIP room. We couldn't do this today in America. You just have to go through all these machines and everybody's got their guns pointed at you. And so anyway, we ushered him into the VIP room, and he sat on, Srila Prabhupada sat on the seat, and without any introduction, he just started talking about different ways to fly. And the reporters are there, you know, with their pens.
So, there are different ways to fly. Formerly, the yogis could train pigeon.
Prabhupada said that he used the word pigeon. He said, it must not be like these pigeons here, but he said you could train these pigeons and they would fly in formation, and you could fly on these pigeons.
Pigeon.
And then he said, and then mantra, simply by vibrating a mantra, Prabhupada said, you could fly. And he gave the example of yogis dipping in Haridwar and coming out at Allahabad. And then he said, and then your machine. So I was standing next to this lady reporter from the Dallas Morning News, and she was pigeon, mantra, machine. And so she started to furrow her brow and she raised her hand. Were these ways to fly more efficient than today's 747s? So Prabhupada was so quick, he said, "Oh yes. For one thing, there was no," and then Prabhupada leaned over and he couldn't think of a word. He said, "Satsarup, how you say that? Jackhais? Hijacks, Prabhupada, hijacks."
Yes, there was no hijacks.
And this lady was not about to be pacified. So she said, "Well, if you know all these ways to fly, then why did you fly American Airlines today?" And again, Prabhupada didn't miss a beat. Prabhupada said, "To be one with you." And the lady turns to me and she goes, "You know, I like that man." So Srila Prabhupada, he knows his audience. In a wink, he knows anybody. He knows he's preaching to the whole world in this purport. He's trying to tell, especially people like me from the West, sex is not a contact sport. It's a sacred act for bringing people into the world, to bring the whole world back home to Krishna. So, then Prabhupada came to the temple. And the first thing he saw when he got to the temple in Dallas is that the devotees had, without his permission, repainted the deities. And immediately Prabhupada went into this fiery mood. You know, Prabhupada is like Krishna, hard as a thunderbolt, soft as a rose, right? He went into the thunderbolt mode. "Who has done this? Bring the people here." And so, actually it was this one lady named Janava Mataji. And she joined Prabhupada's movement in the late 60s when she was just a teenager. And she was mortified that Prabhupada was calling her to scold her about repainting the deities. And so Prabhupada was just grilling her. "Why have you done this? Who told you to do this?" And all she could say was, Bharadraj told me to do it." Bharadraj was an artist at the BBT. And all she could do was sob and say, "Bharadraj, I'm your spiritual master. I'm sitting right in front of you. You're telling me, Bharadraj, why have you done this?" And so she just dissolved in tears. Of course, when she tells the story now, years later, she tells it in such ecstasy. Because if you got scolded by Srila Prabhupada, you might not feel ecstatic at the moment, but your whole life is perfect because you've been corrected by Krishna's pure devotee. So Prabhupada was furious and he told his secretary, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, that pack our bags, we're leaving. We're as we say in America, we're out of here. You know, we're leaving, we're going. So then the devotees were so upset. They wanted Prabhupada to install these deities, Radha Kala Chanji. So they told Satswarup Maharaj, who was a rookie sannyasi at the time. He had just taken sannyas in 1972 on Lord Nisringa Chaturdashi in May in Los Angeles. So he called Satswarup Maharaj in and he said, "Why have they done this? Why have they repainted the deities?" And so Satsrup Maharaj was talking to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada began to soften a little and realized it was the girl didn't do it intentionally to disobey. So Prabhupada decided to stay. So then we had a big ceremony. And so Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasan, and he wasn't personally conducting the ceremony. There was others, Karandar and Pradyumna and different people. Shyam Sundar was there. Satsrup Maharaj. But I saw Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasasan and he was singing. He was chanting something. with his mouth. So I snuck around the Vyasasan right about here. And I went like this. And I could hear him chanting, Chintamani prakarasan vasu kalpabrikkalakavratesu surabirabi palayantam. And he was just on and on, all these Brahma Samhita prayers. And then at one point, he stopped the ceremony. He stopped the whole thing. And he wanted something done. And no one could understand what he wanted. His servant, his secretary, Satsrup Maharaj, they couldn't understand what Prabhupada wanted. So Prabhupada began to look around the room, as if to say, can anybody understand what I want? And I was sitting right about where this big body devotee is with the chandan. We call in America third base. You have cricket here in India. They have baseball in America. So right where you are is third base. So Prabhupada's glance fell on me. Like that. And he was very serious. And he was looking at me like, do you know what I want? And I was just a kid. So I just started grinning. Like this. Because all I could think was, Prabhupada's looking at me. Right? It's all about me. So Prabhupada just looked so disgusted. He gave me this look, which said, you are an idiot. You could never understand in a million years what I want. And so I got the message. And all I could do was grin bigger. That's right, Srila Prabhupada. I'm an idiot. You love me and I'm an idiot. Because whether Prabhupada was smiling or whether he was scolding, his glance was absolute. It was full of compassion and love. No matter what the rasa was, he was doing everything for our benefit so we could take it. So anyway, he gave Bhagavatam class too, and it was a famous verse in the second canto, which ends with a line, Griheshu griha medhinam. The lives of the materialistic householders are spent all day just earning money for sense gratification and at night sleeping in sex indulgence. Griheshu griha medhinam. Like that. And so Prabhupada gave the class, and then he walked out of the temple room to his quarters, and to go to his quarters, he had to pass through a courtyard. And so in the courtyard, Prabhupada saw there had been a nice tree, a big tree, but it had been cut down. So Prabhupada was walking with his cane, and he had stopped by the tree, and he saw that it was cut. And he took his cane and he said, who has done this? So a devotee next to him started to try to explain. And that's the last thing you want to do when Prabhupada is scolding. You don't want to try to explain yourself. But he did that. Well, Srila Prabhupada, the tree was leaning on the building, and we thought the tree was hurting the building, Srila Prabhupada. So we had to cut it down. So Prabhupada said, you Americans, you have no qualification. Your only qualification is money. If you don't like something, you take your money and you cut it down. And then he just walked away, and as he walked away, he was chanting, Griheshu griha medhinam, applying it to us. Before I go on, that was a little preview story, because this afternoon the devotees have asked Subhag Maharaj and myself to share the duties of speaking. So when I speak, I'm going to give a talk about Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, in terms of my experiences with Srila Prabhupada. So that was a preview, so please come. Okay, so in this purport, Srila Prabhupada's topic sentence that sets the tone, the theme for the whole purport. Srila Prabhupada says, "It is sometimes misunderstood that a grihastha, a householder, is permitted to indulge in sex at any time." So that's the misunderstanding. And of course, Srila Prabhupada is preaching to the whole world, and that's the misunderstanding for the whole world. I remember, was it Pope John? No, Pope John Paul II, when he was alive and he was a pope. He was preaching on this point, that sex is a sacred act. It's meant for bringing a child into the world to be raised to serve God. Just, you know, basic stuff. But in Kali Yuga, it's so radical, right? So I remember the Italian journalists were so disturbed by this. This is the Italian journalists, you know, that the Pope won't even let us, you know, love our wives. Love, right? So, but this is the great art. And one reason the world is getting madder and madder and madder is because of this whole misunderstanding of what Krishna's energy, this is an energy of Krishna, the sacred energy, sex is meant for. And therefore, we keep getting all these, it must be, you know, imports from the lower planets, or the lower, I mean, people are taking birth on Earth now that I don't think Mother Bhumi would have let in before. They would have made the neighborhood, but now they're coming, and just the whole world is being terrorized by its own karma. You know, there was, when I was a kid, there were pockets of terrorists, but now it's like become a growth industry, terrorism. So it's because the planet's karma is so sinful, with the animal slaughter and the abortion and the, you know, the raping of the earth for oil and you know, fouling the air. It's just the opposite of the perfect society. So Krishna, he's continually now blowing off karma by these terrorist acts. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes that these modern wars are not dharmic, and what Krishna does periodically, he assembles demons, what do you call them, capitalists, communists, you know, so-called Muslims, so-called whoever, it's all so-called, just to arrange some mass killing, just to pay some karmic debt back. So, just the opposite of real human life. Prabhupada mentions Garbhadhan Samskar. This is the beauty of Vedic culture, which was known to you folks, but it was sure unknown to us when Srila Prabhupada came to the West. To give you an example of the radical dichotomy between Vedic culture and modern culture, when Srila Prabhupada started his movement at 26 Second Avenue, you know, in the Lower East Side of New York City, and his first recruits, of course, were from the counterculture, you know, the hippie culture. It was all arranged by Krishna, you know, how, and the Vatican II, in the early 60s, again, the Catholic Church, for the first time, they recognized the validity of other religious traditions, that you didn't have to be a Catholic to go to heaven. You know, that was like radical. And then the United States government also opened up its immigration policy where people from Asia were allowed to come to America before they were hardly allowed. And then he created this thing called the counterculture, which was a radical reaction to the impersonal, materialistic, godless, soulless civilization that grew up in America after World War II. So you stir all this in the pot, and so Krishna created this little window of time where Prabhupada could just walk through like a genie out of a bottle. You know, he was so unusual looking. with pointy white shoes and his Prabhupada cap, and just, yes, if you can turn all your cell phones off, please. Thank you. So when Prabhupada first started explaining about Krishna's kama, energy in the material world, it seemed so radical to people. There was one encounter with Hayagriva. It was Howard. He was an English professor at Ohio State. So when he finally got the message that sex was for procreation of children at certain times, and then even to enter into that in the proper mood, there was intense meditation and chanting. And so Howard finally said to Swamiji at the time, Prabhupada was called Swamiji, "Well then, why even bother?" And Prabhupada said, "Very good boy." Very good. But of course it's glorious. It's glorious. It's Krishna's energy, and if it's done properly, it's meant. Just imagine, Krishna, we've all run away, right? So Krishna wants us back. So he wants good souls to do his work, to bring so many people back. Just like I have a daughter, and she just entered college in America. So you can imagine my grief if suddenly she just ran away and became some kind of derelict. I would be so upset. And I'd be in touch with the police and friends. And can you please find Chandra? Where did she go? Where did she go? So that's our situation. And so if anybody met my daughter and brought her back, I'd be so grateful to that person. Yeah? So, aham bija pradak pita, he's the seed-giving father of everyone, Krishna. And so that's why he says in the 18th chapter of the Gita, there's nobody more dear to me than somebody who's doing my preaching work, who's trying to remind everybody of me, so that you can, all you runaways can come home. So that's Krishna. So in the perfect society, the Grihastha ashram is so, so important because it supports all the other ashrams. And it, if it's executed properly, it's the source of such good population to help everybody come back to Krishna. And it's not easy, as I can tell you from my own life. And I'll tell you one little anecdote. Here's another little preview. In 1969, Srila Prabhupada was in London. He was coming to install Radha Landanishwar. So he had a servant. His name was Trivikram Brahmachari, who's now ISKCON Sannyasi for many years, since 1971. So Trivikram, before he was in Prabhupada's shelter, he was in the United States Navy, and he was a boxer. He was a good fighter. You know Trivikram? He's a pretty tall guy. Maybe he's thinned out now in his older years, like me. I kind of look like a skeleton. But Trivikram was a fighter. So he had this relationship with Srila Prabhupada where he would massage Prabhupada, and especially before Prabhupada would go on a preaching engagement, he would massage Prabhupada. And he felt like a trainer training his fighter to go preach. And he had this relationship with Prabhupada where he would ask the most, I can't even imagine asking the kind of things he would ask. Like, here's the question he asked for the story. He said, "Srila Prabhupada, what's it like to be a spiritual master?" I mean, I can't even imagine asking that. So, you know, we have this book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. So, it was also Wild Questions, Perfect Answers. So, for the benefit of his young brahmachari disciple, Prabhupada made this reply. He said, "Oh, Being a spiritual master is not very difficult.
But being a householder, that was very difficult.
And maybe Sri Vikram didn't know all the history at the time, but as you know now, Prabhupada was in that Grihastha ashram for about 35 years. And it wasn't easy. So, but if it's done right, it's glorious. In America in the 1970s, you know, here we raw recruits, you know, raised on what were our samskaras? Sex, drugs, rock and roll, right? So, with our newfound brahmacharya and our newfound celibacy, of course, we were famously averse to women, right? It was just the other side of attachment. It was negative, extreme negative attachment. But it's not like that. It's actually, you are only as good grihastha as you are as good a brahmachari. Good brahmacharis make good grihasthas because the training is the same. And the discipline is the same. And when if you become a grihastha, you have even more responsibility. You're not just responsible for yourself or your temple, but you're responsible for a family, and you know it's very serious business. But it's glorious because it's about raising people in spiritual life to help the whole world. So, all right. Well, I'm going to stop and maybe take a question or two, but I'll read the verse again. This is Narada Muni enlightening Maharaj Yudhisthira. And he says, all the rules and regulations apply equally to the householder and the sannyasi, the member of the renounced order of life. The grihastha, however, is given permission by the spiritual master to indulge in sex during the period favorable for procreation. That was the main theme. What constitutes dharmic sexuality? It's that sexuality which is indulged in under the order of the spiritual master. Everything, whatever order we're in, or varna or ashram, we're under the control of the guru. Otherwise, who are we under the control of? This guy, bad master. The mind is a very bad master. Udhareir atmanatmanam atmanatmanam avasadaye atmaiva hyatmano bandhur atmaiva ripur atmanaha. Sixth chapter Gita. A man must elevate himself by his own mind, not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. It's either our bandhu, our friend, or our ripu, our enemy. So we have to take this mind, whose only credit is that it's gotten us another material body, place the mind at the feet of Srila Prabhupada and our Diksha, Shikshu, Bhartva Padarshika gurus, and go home and no longer make this the master. This is a bad master. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Krishnanam Prabhu.
Thank you, Suresha Prabhu. Very, very, very wonderful class. We're really looking forward to hearing more of you in the afternoon.
I don't really give classes. I just tell stories. What to do?
I heard you in Mayapur. It was really wonderful hearing you in Mayapur. Prabhuji, this question, this doubt's been always in my mind. Of course, Prabhupada's purport, we can see, is perfect. There is never a doubt. By reading Prabhupada's purports in our mind. But if you see from the reality point of view, Prabhupada is saying that, you know, in order to have proper Krishna conscious children, we have to have the Garbhadhan samskar, and that will create proper children. So we see that in our movement also, we have had so many grihasthas who have been entering grihastha ashram, and then they have been producing children through the process of Garbhadhan Samskara. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessary that the children are manifesting godly qualities. In fact, there are a lot of them who are, you know, so-called, you know, deviants from the Krishna conscious philosophy.
Mm.
But at the same time, people, you know, like us who work, who came into Krishna consciousness, trying to be devotees, we are not been created in any Krishna conscious environment. We are not been created out of so-called Garbhadhan Samskara. So how does one understand this in relation to Srila Prabhupada's purport? Even if you take this, when Srila Prabhupada went to the West and then he was preaching to all these hippies, and out of that so-called hippie movement, we see so many exalted Vaishnavas even today practicing Krishna consciousness, like you, for example. How is it that this purport can be related to this reality?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a doubt in my mind.
Yes. Okay, let me try to paraphrase your question to make sure I understood it. It sounds like what you're saying, in other words, that we have a scientific process for getting good children, but it sounds like what you're saying is that our practical experience in ISKCON's young history doesn't seem to tally with the purport, the Shastra. I was speaking with a devotee the other day about Garbhadhan Samskara, and it's almost like what we were talking about was how, you know, how we recite the 10 offenses every day before we chant japa to blaspheme the devotees. And it is also an offensive to be inattentive while chanting, which happens to be the reservoir of all the other offenses, right? Pramada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his Harinama Chintamani. So practically speaking, we can recite those 10 offenses. But really, what we're bringing to the table or to the floor when we sit down to chant japa is the sum total, the momentum of our entire consciousness. It's not that just by reciting the 10 offenses or by one Garbhadhan Samskara, our adhikar is presto changeo perfect. Not. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada would say things like this to us first generation ISKCON people. Not you, not your children, not your children's children, not your children's children's children, but maybe your children's 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 children will be able to worship the deity properly. It's something like mush and gush and wap and bap at the river, you know, when you're getting your clothes. You know, it gradually comes. So I can say this much, that were it not for at least the first attempts at Garbhadamskara, we can't even imagine the pandemonium, the bedlam, the hell that would have broken loose if there at least wasn't an attempt to have Garbhadam. And even though the results might not seem to tally with this purport, I can tell you that even the biggest complaining guru kuli from that first generation, they love Krishna. They love Krishna. Even if they scream that they don't, they do. Because when they get together with all their survivors of the Hare Krishna explosion, you know, what do? They chant Hare Krishna. You know what just happened in Washington, D.C. on the eve of the inauguration of Barack Obama? A lot of these coolies came to this chant for change. You heard, you saw this on the internet? It was this big concert calling all these kirtaniyas, because kirtan yoga is becoming really big in America and all over the world. All these popular kirtaniers, we would maybe technically call sahajas or upa sampradaya, whatever. Anyway, they were invited to join a really good guru kuli, son of Bharadwaj and Rukmini, Gauravani Prabhu, and his band as kindred spirits. And they just blew the roof off this hall with super kirtan and dance. And the people who were there, there were 700 people there, and all these professional kirtan people, they couldn't believe it. They were just completely stunned by the purity of this kirtan. These other people, they're nice and they chant professionally and they're friends, but when they saw Gauravani and as kindred spirits, you know, the next generation, they were stunned beyond belief. So the future is bright for the Krishna consciousness movement and for these children. As rocky and rough a road as they had, their devotees, and as Prabhupada said, they will get better and better and better. So I can't, just like when my wife and I conceived our daughter Chandra, we had Garbhadan Samskara, but I'm sure it wasn't at the level of that we read in Shastra. I'm sure the consciousness wasn't as, you know. But from imperfection, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, perfection, purity will come about. It just takes time. What do they say in Bengal? Sabare meyoya phale. If one wants to grow the delicious meyoya fruit, oh, one must be patient. I probably butchered the Bengali, but you get the idea. Good things take time. Mataji, please.
Thank you very much for a beautiful lecture. My little suspicion is, Prahlad was the greatest devotee. He is a Mahajan. But he is son of Hiranyakashyap and Kayadu. I'm sure they didn't have Garbhadhan ceremony.
Yeah, there's a whole leela behind that, huh? How he was... I forget, maybe you know from the Shastra, how he came to that womb. And then he heard Narada Muni in the womb. And Kayadu was a little distracted, but Narada Muni, or Prahlad, got the whole thing. So, yeah, Prahladas Chasvi Daityanam. Among the Daitya demons, I am the devoted Prahlad, Krishna says in Vibhuti Yog, 10th chapter of Gita. Yeah. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Well, no more hands? I guess we... Oh, yes. There's a... Mic? This is very nice. You have a mic.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. You used the word Hare Krishna explosion for the phenomenon that took place when Prabhupada was there. Now, we see that for good or for bad, that spirit is kind of tapering off now in the U.S., and when I visited the U.S., the noticeable thing is that most of them are Indian people, people of Indian origin, mm-hmm. rather than the whites like yourself mm-hmm. who are coming to the temples. What do you attribute this to?
And what's the?
What do you attribute this change to?
Sakali nihamahata. In due course of time. America is on the ropes, but it's not out. You know, in boxing, when a fighter's on the ropes, or he's down on one knee. When the Hare Krishna explosion was going on in America, India was on the ropes. When Prabhupada brought his dancing white elephants, you know, to Delhi, and they were amazed, right? And when Prabhupada was preaching, trying to preach in India, they didn't want to hear it, right? Prabhupada said, just give me one of your sons. You know, Prabhupada was preaching, crying in the wilderness, in the land of Dharma. They didn't want to hear it. So, don't worry, the wheel always turns. There are actually signs that America is coming up. But it's true. This is just, people ask me, you know, how's ISKCON doing? Well, it depends on where you are in the world. Are you talking about, you know, Helsinki, or are you talking about Caracas, or are you talking about Moscow, or what are you... So, Prithivite Achayata Nagradi Gram Sarvatra Prashar Haibe Moranam. It's going to every town and village, and Krishna has inspired people like, you know, Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and well, even Al Gore claimed he created the internet at one point. to spread it all over the world very fast. So, you know, don't let appearances deceive you. It's actually great that our Indian brethren are holding down the fort right now in America. You know, great. But the wheel is turning, so don't worry. And the most exciting thing going on in the mainland in America, I live in Hawaii, out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, but in the mainland, these japa retreats are really starting to catch fire. So, that's the whole secret, is the holy name. It's all in the holy name. So, see, when Prabhupada exploded us, when you went through a whole lifetime in a day, right at the top of the wave when Prabhupada was with us, you know what he was talking about? That which would make everything sustainable, but which we couldn't hear. Daivi Varnashram Dharma. Which we didn't do. We didn't get it. We didn't know what Prabhupada was talking about. We sort of knew theoretically, but we didn't do it. And then we got caught up all in these, you know, power shenanigans after he left. And he predicted it right in the fourth canto. When a great acharya leaves, chaos ensues. So we've been preoccupied with our own anarthas for, you know, but since Prabhupada's centennial, things have started to churn upward. So we're inspired by India on these book distribution ratings. India's like left America in the dust. Used to be America, now it's India. So that's only one thing. Books are the basis of what? An entire alternative society, culture, which Prabhupada wants us to build. Our own economy, our own culture, our own music, our own everything. It takes time. Good things take time. So even though America appears to be weak, yes, we can, Barack Obama said, right? So we don't, we're not, we know the real purport of that, you know. Yes, we can succeed. Chant for Change. That concert was called Chant for Change. Yeah, politics, it will never work. You've got to get to people's beings, their very souls. So Prabhupada has us. And a lot of the Americans, like me, we're not even in America anymore. You know, we're inspired by what's going on here. And then we try to take it back to America. You know, I just took, after 38 years, you know what I just did? I just took Bhakti Shastri. So I'm going to try to take that back to Hawaii. Because it's become such a backwater. You know what a backwater is? It's a culturally backward place. Prabhupada has to get people's ear again. And then he can capture their hearts again. It's all based on Sashastra, Sadhu, Guru. And applying it according to Desha Kala. Patra, time, place, and circumstance. So we'll be telling more about Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya, that's the theme, through stories and lessons from the stories. There are many lessons. Prabhupada, everything he did was a lesson. So please come, and Subhag Maharaj and myself will be speaking. Thank you for listening. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glorious to Srimad Bhagavatam. Go Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol.